So we're thinking about how God is like a mother. Just a couple of things to think about. In the reading there, Isaiah says, or God says through Isaiah, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. God wants us to know him. He created us to worship him. And he's revealed himself to us in lots and lots of different ways. We know that God exists because as we look around us, we see the wonder and the beauty of creation. If you hold your hand up in front of you and you just look at how your thumb and your index finger work, we're amazed at God's handiwork. He has created us to worship him, and all of creation points us to him. But also we know that God exists because there are certain things about every one of us that God shares with us that, if you like, reflect his character. So we have the ability to love one another. We have the ability to care for others. We're able to be creative. Some of us can sing. Some of us can play instruments. Some of us love coloring. Some of us can dance. Some of us are brilliant at sports. Some of us have amazing minds and can do all kinds of, arithmetic and maths and all the rest of it. And that is because God has made us. We reflect his character. We also know the difference between right and wrong. There's something inside us that tells us when we're not doing the right thing. And that's because each one of us is made in God's image. But we also know what God is like, and he also reveals himself through Jesus Christ. So if you want to know what God is like, you need to understand what Jesus is like. And we understand what Jesus is like through the Bible, because that's the other way that God reveals himself to us. He's given us his word to show us what he's like, to explain how he relates to human beings like you and me. Now, it's important right now to understand that God isn't exactly like us in every way, of course. God doesn't have a body, does he? The Bible tells us he's a spirit. God is everywhere at the same time. So he doesn't have arms and legs. He doesn't have a body like we do. But because God loves us, and to help us understand what he's really like, he uses things that are familiar to us, things that we see, things that we experience, to show us what he's like. Now we know when we started the service, we prayed to God, our Heavenly Father. And God has revealed himself for the most part in the Bible as being a father. But we also know that he's revealed himself in several places as being like a mother. So he uses mothers to show us in some ways what he's like. So today, as we honor and give thanks for our mums and the other women who've blessed us and encouraged us through life, I want us to think about what mums are like, what mothers are like, and how God uses that image of a mother to describe himself to us. And in doing that, we'll see that mothers, whether they be our birth mothers or our spiritual mothers, are wonderful gifts to us. But more importantly, we'll see that they point us to the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus. So the first thing I want us to see today is, and if I switch this on, I've got the doofer, so anything could happen, how God is like a mother. Well, the first thing is this. Mothers protect. Mothers protect. There's one occasion when Jesus was standing outside Jerusalem. Must have been an amazing day because he was full of sorrow, full of grief, as he gazed out upon that great city. And he said this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me." So here was Jesus saying to these people, "Look, I want to protect you. I want to cover you with my wings." But they wouldn't have anything to do with it. He used an image of a mother hen sheltering her chicks. And many of you will know, if you've ever been in a farmyard, at least an organic farmyard, that you will often see this image of a hen being followed around by her chicks. The story's told once of a, a fire that swept through a barn on a farm, and it destroyed everything before it. And the farmer was obviously devastated at what had happened. And as he was walking through the wreckage of the barn, he saw this sort of like moving kind of dusty black thing on the ground. And as he walked up to it and sort of flipped it over with his toes, a few chicks scurried out. And that sort of mound of dust and feathers were their mother, who had sheltered them under her wings in order to protect them. And that's a mother's instinct, isn't it? To protect the children, the chicks that she bears. Here's an example from the Bible. Who can tell me the name of Moses' mother? Who was Moses' mother? Anybody want to have a guess? Come on, Daniel. Have a go at it. No? Jochebed. Yes? Jochebed was Moses' mum. And we know the story, don't we? Pharaoh sent out this decree that all the Hebrew boys had to be put to death. She hid Moses. She wanted to protect him. After 3 months, she made a little ark, a little basket of bulrushes, covered it in pitch so that it wouldn't sink, and put him on the River Nile with his sister Miriam to watch him. And we all know the story. Pharaoh's daughter comes along, rescues Moses, brings him into the palace, and Moses survives, all because of a mother's loving instinct to protect her child. What about this? You see that? I thought that was brilliant. Even today, mums are protective, aren't they? You know, when I was a boy, we were just sort of let loose. You went anywhere, did what you want, climbed trees, you know, had stone fights, all kinds of stuff went on. Today, we're all wrapped up. We've got to have body armor. We've got to have, you know, kneecaps and all kinds of things covering us. Now, mind you, my body is telling me that if my mum had done that, I'd have been in a lot better position than I am today. But mums protect, don't they? And God in the Bible uses this picture of a protective mother to show what he's like. He loves us. He has a tender care for each one of us. And he also, in Jesus, has shown a willingness to die for us in order to protect us from that which threatens us most. Now, what's that? Well, the Bible tells us that our great enemy is death. Death will take us all. It's something that we can't avoid. It comes to every one of us. But Jesus has come to protect us from the consequences of death itself. And that's an amazing thing. So we're going to think a little bit more about God's protection in a few moments. But let's just pause for a moment and stand together and sing God's praise again. Lord, I lift your name on high. The wonderful thing about God is that he is a refuge. He is a place of safety. And I wonder this morning as you gather here, are you in a safe place? Are you sheltering under his wing and God being the refuge? There is no safer place than being under the shadow of his wings. So where are you sheltering today? Where are you taking refuge? I remember when our children were small and we were holidaying in France, I took one of my children into the sea. It was great. The surf was up. There were lots of waves. And this particular one of my children was very, very nervous about going into the sea. And I said, look, don't worry. I'm your dad. Everything will be okay. We'll be fine. And, of course, as we went out into the surf, I saw a big wave coming. And I thought, no problem. No, don't sweat it. Just do the dad thing and sort of shelter around and protect your child. I did that. And the wave flattened both of us completely. And that's an interesting illustration because it's natural for us to think that we can handle everything, that we can control life, that we control the situations around us. And when things go wrong, we naturally tend to think that we have it in us to fix it. But you know, there are some things that can't be fixed. And that's where we need to be sheltering in God as our refuge. That's where we need to be trusting in Jesus, knowing that he's covered everything, That the most terrible things that we have to face, he's already paid the price, he's already dealt with those things, and therefore we can live confidently whatever hard things might be happening in our lives, in the world around us. And you see, as a mother seeks to protect her own, it's the Lord's desire that everyone should come to repentance, to come to shelter in his merciful arms, to know the joy of his presence, whatever life may bring. That's the only place of real protection and peace. Nothing can separate us from God. The second thing is a mother's touch. Let me ask you, who do you normally run to, boys and girls, when you fall over and scrape your knee? It's natural, isn't it, to turn and look for your mum and to run to her. Or perhaps at night, you're in bed and you have a nightmare or a bad dream and you wake up and you're frightened. And what is the first name that comes to your lips? Very often, it's that of your mum, isn't it? You call for mum. We have some friends, and when their children were small, the mum trained them to call for dad in the middle of the night. And he never realized it was happening until they'd grown up and they told him that that was the plan. But she knew as a mum that, you know, the minute something went wrong in the wee small hours of the night, her name would be the one that they was calling, and she valued her sleep. So she said, right, just call dad. Call dad. He'll help. And there's a sense in which we all want mum's magic touch, because mothers are great at comforting us. And in that way, mums remind us of Jesus. If you read through the New Testament, count the number of times that Jesus not only speaks to people, but touches them. And he does that often. And he does it to heal. He healed the sick and the lame and the blind and the deaf. He touched a dead teenager and raised him back to life. And as he lived and moved in those days, lots and lots of parents, mums and dads, brought their children to Jesus so that he would touch them and bless them. So, as we meet this morning, have you experienced the comforting touch of Jesus? As you look around you in the world today, there are lots and lots of people who desperately need the comfort that God gives. They're lost. They're hopeless. They're helpless. They're in pain and hurting. And Jesus offers a clear conscience, an end to shame, paying for the guilt that's dealt with and done, peace of heart and peace of mind, real comfort to sustain day by day. But then there's this. Mothers forgive. Mothers forgive. My mother is a saint. Really. Because I wasn't an easy child. And it's true of most mothers that they will always think the best of their children. Their compassion quickly shows a readiness to forgive, to overlook the fault. I remember on one occasion sitting in the kitchen with my mum. I'd have been about 17 or 18. I was in trouble again. This time the police weren't involved, so dad didn't need to be there. And it was just me and mum. And I was saying, look, mum, it's all my fault. I'll take the blame. And I remember to this day, she turning to me and she said, no, no, no. It takes two to tango. It wasn't just your fault. And there was that sort of natural mother's desire to forgive, to overlook a fault. And of course, God is like that. Jeremiah 31 and verse 34 says this, they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Forgiveness. Someone who knows what you're like inside out and says, I forgive you. I don't hold it against you. If you're trusting in Jesus, in his life, in his death, everything he's done to make you right with God, then he treats you as one of his children. He treats you that way all the time. Even at those times when you mess it up, even when you get it wrong, he forgives and he chooses not to remember those sins because Jesus has paid it all at the cross. You're forgiven forever. That's amazing, isn't it? Forgiven forever. And there's only one way to obtain that forgiveness, and it's through Jesus Christ, through his blood that cleans us up on the inside, that deals with the problem of sin, so that God can welcome us with open arms. I was reading recently about a mum in London who posted her own picture everywhere with this message, "Come home." She stuck it up in every shop and lamppost and pub that she could come across because her daughter had run away from home. And one day her daughter saw it in a bar and she knew exactly what it meant. She immediately went home to her mum, broken and sobbing. And when she arrived home, her mum met her with outstretched arms and said, "The door's never been locked. I've been longing for you, looking for you, and praying for you. I love you." See why God uses images of motherhood to show us what he is like. He waits with open arms to welcome and to forgive us. And that leads us to the final thing, very quickly. Mothers give life. Mothers give life. I thank God for my mum, who gave me life 50-something years ago in Belfast. And I thank God for the mother of my children who gave each of them life. But most of all, I thank God for sending Jesus, who is the giver of eternal life for all who will trust in him. The Apostle John, at the end of his gospel, writes this: "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name." Jesus gives life. Life not just here to be enjoyed, to have his presence with us, to know that joy of forgiveness, that peace of heart that nothing can take away, but also that life that goes on forever and will take us into his presence and the glories of the new creation. So as you think about your mum today, you can thank God for her, but also thank God that we have a picture of him when we think of a mother, a mother's desire to protect, a mother's willingness to touch and hold and comfort, a mother's willingness to forgive when slighted and wronged, and of course, that mothers give life and that God gives eternal and abundant life through Jesus, his Son. Let's sing of that in our closing hymn together. "I will glory in my Redeemer."